Hey, closet busters, come on and gather around. It's time once again to kick down those closet doors of life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons, bold move expert and coming out coach, and I'm going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on, grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step in to living your truth as we explore more stories, tips, and tricks for living your life uncloseted. Now let's get to the show. Hey there, closet busters and bold move makers. It's time for another episode of Life Uncloseted where we say, yeah, screw it. I'm kicking down the closet doors of my life. I'm setting myself free and I'm living the life I want, a life that's uncloseted without apologies. And you know what? Today, this ain't no fiction. In fact, this is pretty damn close to the truth. Here's something that I know to be true as a gay man, that gay men often put themselves in some closets. Some silly closets, but one that's really big in the community is a closet of being attracted to the outside appearances, and they just can't move past all that and get past the flaws to the beautiful human being that's inside. Now, this is probably true for most human beings, but it's something that really, really keeps gay men from being able to commit to doing something, to being with someone that's outside their norm. And today I'm being joined by an actor by the name of Sean Singleton. He's part of a brand new gay comedy film called The Lady in the Locket. And he's going to just kind of join us as we explore how his role in this movie is challenging his own norms, how it's given him the opportunity to uncloset himself in a role, and talk about, well, what it's like for him as a African-American black gay man to be doing this kind of role, living in the world and showing up the way he is. Because you know what? Here's something that I find really interesting. The color of love shows up both inside and outside of the closets of our lives. So before we waste the whole 30 minutes today on me just yapping at the bit, I want to bring Sean onto the show. Welcome, Sean, to Life Uncloseted.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. I know I put a whole lot of stuff in that intro, but let's kind of just dive right in. So you're just came out, brand new film called The Lady in the Locket. So first of all, congrats, man. Great job getting that film under your belt.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the film, because I know based on what I've heard and read that this character isn't really a whole lot like Sean at all. Is that correct?
No, it's not like me at all.
So take us a little bit deeper in there, brother. We're not just going to let that one slide. So talk about the character and talk about how you are.
The character is in the throes of a relationship gone bad that, for whatever reason, has gone bad. And he's basically kind of counting himself out of love, and in doing so he kind of falls trapped to a genie of sorts, who basically kind of reiterates the fact that everyone needs love, and you know, you can't count yourself out of love, because I mean, like, if you don't have love and you're living this life, then I mean, what are you living for?
Right. So why do you think so many people, I mean, I'm going to just dive right in. Why do you think so many people go that route where they have one bad experience or a few bad experiences and they finally just go, okay, I'm just going to check out of love because this is just all a joke. There's no reason to be in it. Why do you think so many people do that?
I think a lot of people do it because of fear. I think that's the world in which we're living in now. It's a world that's like enveloped in fear, and that can be anything. The fear of whatever you have. Whatever is the fear of yours, I think that's a problem for a lot of people. They just fear that, you know, they may not accept them. They fear that they may not understand them. They fear that, you know, if they put their, you know, all their cards on the table, that they'll get rejected. It all stems from fear, essentially.
Mm-hmm. And I agree with you 100%, especially gay men. I think so many gay men operate out of fear of rejection, of truly not seeing themselves in the best light, which is a form of rejection, but you know, not having the confidence. It's all about all these things, which is really ridiculous. It's like, if you just trust yourself, If you just trust yourself to be who you are, then a lot of times the fears of rejection and things such as that just dissipate. And I think it's a struggle that everybody has. I mean, let's just face it. All of us like lack confidence in some way, somehow, many, many times. But for the most part, I think if we could overcome the self-worth stuff, then it's easy to start to step back into first. The first place to step into is self-love. And once you can self-love, then it's easier to open yourself to the doors of love in general. So we know what the character's like. So now you said this is totally opposite of you. So what is Sean like compared to the character?
Well, the character and I share, the one thing that the character and I share is that fear. I'm not immune to that fear. I've lived in it. I've been in it. Some may say I'm still in it, but that's, you know, that's hearsay. But,
right.
You know, so I come from a place where I completely understand it and I have lived it. So I know what the fear is. So I can relate to the character on that regard. As far as how I'm like, I've lived a lot of, I would say the majority of my life in fear.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it came to my sexuality.
Yeah.
And what that meant and what it meant to other people and how it was looked at. So it's been a struggle of mine. So definitely those things are parallel with the character. And I think those are the most important things because those are things I can actually like really grab onto. And that's what the character mm-hmm. was really about, that fear. But for me, living in that fear, I've been able to put a good group of people around me and also my family has been very helpful with that. So the fear has dissipated a lot, but it hasn't completely gone away mm-hmm. at but all, especially being the actor.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, so I'm just going to kind of go down, you know, the checklist here. So you're an actor, so there's fear right there because it's always about showing up, being, you know, better and all this sort of stuff, or being the right fit, you know, having the right look, whatever it is. So you got that checkbox checked. Then you have the man of color box that's checked. Then you have the man of color who's gay box checked. It's like all these things start to stack up. And I'm not disregarding anybody else's life because we all have check boxes. But I know, having worked with many, many gay men, a few lesbians, but the ones that have been people of color, it's like these check boxes just, there's not any easy way getting around them until you start to accept really at a deeper level who you are and how you want to be in life. So I'm curious, what's been the thing that's helped you most uncloset yourself to be who you are as a gay man of color?
Well, for me, the first thing was actually going and taking a role that would allow me to be seen in that kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, regardless of whether or not I felt that the character wasn't exactly me or, you know, I'm not exactly like the character, the one thing that was true and rang true with both the character and myself is that I'm gay, you know? So I had to kind of just live in that and just explore that because it's something that has been uncomfortable for me to explore mm-hmm. in my daily life. Mm-hmm. So to play it, really made it more, it makes it more real.
Right.
It makes it more real for me because, you know, even though I can hide behind the character, the feelings that the character may have and whatnot, I have all felt, I felt those mm-hmm. very same things. It's just trying to live in it and not trying to shy away from it because it's been a fear of mine to play a mm-hmm. gay role.
Mm-hmm.
This role will be my third gay role that I've played
mm-hmm.
and each one that I've played is just like, okay, I just don't want this to be, you know, something stereotypical, mm-hmm. stereotypically gay, you know, something mm-hmm. like oversexed, superficial, you know, kind of gay guy. But each one has helped me come to grips and come to terms with my own identity. So
the reason I paused there is because I think this is one of those things that people make some assumptions about actors, that they take these roles on, they go and they stretch, which I know they do. You know, I used to do theater and stuff myself, But there's always an element of whatever the character is you're playing, there's something going to show up that's going to reflect a mirror back to yourself of who you really are. And I'm wondering if that's how you've felt over the last three roles, that here you are playing these gay characters, and then in the midst of the role, do you ever have something that reflects back to you and you go, okay, this is really hitting home to me as my own individual person in the life that I live?
Absolutely. I would say the very first, to kind of deviate from what the movie that I'm doing right now, but the very first role that I took as a gay character was really like, was really, really, really far from who I was. It was more of a flamboyant character. He was very outspoken, very forthright, and just like, I guess in a sense, kind of like the stereotypical gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I related to that in a way, because a lot of times that flamboyance and that just that forthrightness is one of my inner characters within me, you know, like it's one of those characters that I have within me. I related to that character a lot, even though it wasn't a lot like me.
Mm-hmm.
But it allowed me to kind of bring that part of me that was like that character out and explore that.
Mm. So I'm going to kind of switch gears a little bit here. So as we know, things are very crazy in our nation right now, and especially yeah. being a person of color. So I'm curious, mm-hmm. do you feel like in some ways you're having to put yourself back in some closets to be who you are and step away from being who you are? Are you finding yourself more motivated to be even more, this is who I am. I am a you know, a gay man of color. I'm going to stand my ground. Where's your thinking these days? Because I know for me, I've always been very, you know, since I've been out, I've only been out since 1999, but I've always been very out, not flamboyant. Well, I guess it depends on who you ask whether I'm flamboyant or not.
Right.
You know, I'm very open about who I am and my sexuality. It's not like I'm waving the flag, but if somebody says something, I'm like, yeah, I'm gay. So, you know, that's just who I am. But I know with everything else, especially with what's going on in the Black community and with police and everything like that, do you find yourself feeling like you kind of want to go back in a closet, or is it driving you forward to just be even more who you are?
That's been a battle that I've been dealing with for some time now. But yeah, it's kind of, in a way, part of me wants to just like scream from the mountaintop, like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, this is me and this is who I am. But then there is a part of me that wants to kind of cower away and kind of live within that space where no one really knows. It's interesting because I definitely don't want to go back in the closet. That was too much.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes in this world that we're living in now, is that everyone kind of wants you to kind of over-advertise yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And in that over-advertising of yourself, you kind of have to put all your cards on the table. And I don't think that's how it should be. I don't think you should feel that you have to, like, expose yourself. Everything's not exposé. You know, if you want to get to know me, you come and get to know me.
Right.
But I feel like in this, you know, popcorn culture that we have now, it's like we need to know who you are and who you are now. And that's just not how you get to know people. It's a lot of layers that you have to pull back. You know, people are like onions.
Yep.
You know, like, there's a lot of layers that you have to pull back. And I don't think it's fair to people, whomever it is that's dealing with that, I don't think it's fair to them to, you know, be like, okay, well, you're this, or mm-hmm. you're that, and you need to be this or that.
Right.
And I don't think it's fair because there's a lot of layers. And so it's definitely been something that I've dealt with because I still have, there's a lot of people that don't know that I'm gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day, you know, there's a lot of people that don't know I'm gay. And I've been in situations where, you know, people are asking me, I'll be at work or something or another, and people ask me about, you know, not knowing what my sexuality is, ask me about, like, oh, what do you think about this, or what do you think about this girl or that girl or this
right.
and that. And a lot of times, depending on the setting, I just go along with the get along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's nice.
But don't you find this interesting that when we do this, okay, so this is one of the biggest debates I get into in our own community is we all fight so hard to be accepted and to be out in the way that we feel comfortable. And then yet our own community is the one who tries to tell us how we have to be out. And to me, as soon as someone tells someone how they have to be out, what they actually did is they just put them back in another closet. It's like, this is now the expectation you're supposed to live by. This is what's expected of you being gay, lesbian, bi, trans, whatever it is. When in reality, all we've ever asked is just accept me for who I am. So why do we go do this to one another and put each other back in these closets of, okay, if you're a gay man, this is how you do gay man. To me, it's absolutely freaking ridiculous because the beauty we all have, my opinion is we are all born into this world to be exactly who we are. And that's the one right that we all have. And nobody else has that right to tell us how we're to be who we really are. But so often that's not the case. In fact, more than we probably either one want to admit, that's not the case. We all get told, okay, well, as a black man of color, this is how you do it. You know, I just think it's very, very unfortunate. So I'm really glad you brought that piece up in this conversation today, Sean, because I can't imagine, as a man of color, all the other kinds of closets you tend to get thrown into. It's got to be really frustrating. So what are you enjoying most about this kind of role that challenges you to kind of step out of a norm and be something, but then also to be who you are in your daily life? What do you enjoy? What bothers you? You know, both sides of the coin.
Well, I enjoy that it gives me I don't want to say a platform because it's not necessarily a platform that gives me, I guess it does, but it gives me a space, like a safe space to kind of explore who I am in the different aspects of who I am. So that I'm really appreciative of. But moreover is that I think that it just really allows me to, I guess in the greatest sense, just be myself. It's tough because the only thing that's gay about the character is the person that he loves. There's nothing in the story that is overtly gay outside of whom I love.
Right.
Outside, you know, like if they change the character to a female, it could work very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
So the character isn't like overtly gay.
Right.
But it just allows me to kind of sit and center and be comfortable in that openness.
Mm-hmm.
And I naturally am not the most open person, especially when it comes to my personal life.
Right.
Like, I'm not that guy.
Right.
I'm not that guy that's going to put all my money on the table. I'm not that person.
So I have a question for you, because I think this is a very key space. Because what you just brought up is this not being open. And I love it because when somebody says that, the question I want to say with most people would ask would be, well, how does that hurt you by not being more open in life? But I don't like that question. What I say is, so what good comes from you being able to not be as open? What good does that do for you? Because I think there is good in not being open. There is some things that it works for many people. I mean, I'm a really open guy, very transparent, but it works for me because I'm a big imposing guy. When people meet me in person, I'm almost 6'5". I weigh 270 pounds. I mean, I'm a big guy. And the last thing they would expect from a guy that of my stature is that, oh yeah, I'm going to tell you everything and be, you know, they're going to expect I'm going to be this tough exterior, you know, kind of a bruiser guy, and I'm totally different. But there's got to be something good that happens for you not putting all the cards on the table. So what would that be?
Well, do you mean just in real life?
Or? Yeah, just in general for you, because I think it's a very valuable thing for the audience to hear, because so many people get told, you got to be more open, you got to be transparent. And again, I come back to nobody has the right to tell somebody else how they got to be, but I believe there's some benefits to not being open and completely transparent and saying, here's my life.
Well, number one, me not being open and not being completely transparent adds a layer of mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And mystery makes the world go round.
Yep.
And it's not something that I try to impose or something I try to do. It's just who I am. I'm not going to put all my cards on the table. It's just not – the way I play. I play the game, but I'm going to play it my own way. So for me, it allows me to kind of mitigate my openness, you know, and choose the person worthy of receiving that openness. Because I don't think that, or at least for me, I don't think that I need to necessarily be open about my sexuality in order to receive some good from that openness.
So I'm curious, because I have noticed this pattern, and maybe it's just the gay men of color that I have gotten to know. It seems that gay men of color, a lot of them choose not to be open about their sexuality. Would you say that's fairly true?
I would say that's somewhat true, yeah.
Yeah. So my curiosity is, I think I know why, because there's much more masculinity tied for some reason to men of color, that this is what men of color are. Men of color are masculine men. I also know there's a lot of faith-based presence in the, you know, people of color worlds. Their faith drives so many things. I also know that family is like hugely a huge importance to them. Did I leave anything out that kind of drives this reason that men of color tend to mask sexuality?
No, not necessarily. I think for men of color, especially in America, because I think it's important that America be the backdrop, because I feel like when this conversation is really being had, it's only being had with the ones in America for the most part, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
And the backdrop of America is really important. For me, I feel like black men and men of color, we're looked at as a certain way. We're looked at to be domineering, more masculine, as you said. We're kind of just looked at as kind of like an archetype of what a man is supposed to be in its like raw sense. And I feel that sometimes that gets lost, because you have these archetypes to kind of live up to, and you don't quite, you know, you're not quite up to snuff with what exactly these archetypes are. And it's just difficult. I mean, for me, I struggled for a long time, because my mom would always say to me as a kid, you know, like, you know, you have to be this, you have to be that,
right.
You know, you're a black man, it was never in a way where it was like, I felt like she wouldn't love me any other way, but she was preparing me. Mm-hmm. She was like, you have to be like this, you have to be like this, because you have to be better, you have to be this, you have to be that. And so that's always been in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to be better all the time means that I'm trying to one-up someone. And a lot of times when you're one-upping someone, you're not really truly being yourself. You're trying to just kind of like assimilate in a way. And it's definitely been tough for me, because I go back and forth with it. I go back and forth with it. Some days I'm like really, really great about it, and then some days I'm like, ugh. And it could be from something that someone said because I was open, or just a reaction I may have seen from somebody else by watching something or seeing something on television. Or it's just like, it's this constant battle, and I think that black men specifically have it really difficult with this whole sexuality thing, because it's just difficult, because it has so many layers. It has so many layers behind it. It has a lot to do with, you know, how we're looked at in this country, how we're treated, how we're continuing to be treated. Slavery has a part in it.
Yep.
A lot of things have a part in it. And then also, it's the complete opposite of that. You know, when you see some of my white brothers and sisters, gay brothers and sisters, that it just seems so easy for them.
I'm going to be the first to admit, I realize that as a white man, even as a white gay man, there is a sense of privilege that I have. Not that I own, but I'm saying there's a sense of privilege that's laid on to me. It's like, okay, well, you're white and gay, so we can kind of tolerate that. Oh, you're white, gay, and a man. Okay, now we can tolerate that. But then suddenly, as soon as you put the other piece into it, it's like, well, now there's a whole nother layer that gets added into it. And I remember one time, because I'm very attracted to black men. I find black men absolutely beautiful. And I remember making a comment in the last couple of years to one of my black gay friends of, oh, you know, I like my chocolate, so get over it. And then I stopped and I thought, wait, I need to apologize for that. I need to put it in the context of, you know, I'm attracted to black men. I think black men are beautiful, because just even the thing of, you know, I like my chocolate, even though it was a joke.
Yeah.
It is something that makes you feel like you're just a material object. You know, you're just this to be consumed. And when I said this to my friend and I said, I'm so sorry, he goes, I don't take anything from it, Rick. I know who you are. But he goes, if somebody else had said that to me, it would really have hurt really deeply. And I think this is the piece that most people don't realize, is so often the things we say are the things that keep people in their closets. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to confront it. And, you know, I've been taken to taken to the ringer and beat up many, many times by people who have spouses who come out of the closet late in life. And they're like, you should have known, you shouldn't have done that. I'm like, you know, you don't get to say that to me, because you haven't lived my life. And it's the same thing when I look at people of color. I don't think anybody can stand in somebody else's shoes until they've actually stood in somebody else's shoes. That's the bottom line. And I think that's really the gist of what you have brought up today in this conversation, is realizing, A, nobody gets to tell you how to live your life. B, you may walk outside the norm in certain ways in life, but you also get to decide when you choose not to walk outside that norm and how you want to show up and how you want to say, okay, I'm cool with being myself and being out, and then I'm not cool with it. I know for me, I'm going through it right now. I'm going through some really interesting feelings, because we're in the midst of buying and selling a home. And
congratulations.
Well, thanks, man. But there's stuff that comes with that I never thought I'd think. It's like, okay, well, I wonder if the buyer is going to have an issue that they're moving into a house that two gay men lived in. And are the sellers that we're buying from, is there going to be an issue as we're moving into a planned community with having, you know, all suddenly all this stuff comes up, and I'm like, I didn't realize how much this was going to stir up shit for me.
Right.
You know, so I'm curious, man. One of the things I always ask at the end of these interviews, and I just love everything you've shared so far, but as a black man of color, if you could leave some advice for anyone, but especially for, you know, your brothers and sisters of color who are struggling with coming to be out of their own closets, whether it's a sexuality closet or a race closet or, you know, whatever it may be, what would be some wisdom that you'd love to leave the listeners with about really, truly walking outside the norm and being who you are?
I think that the best thing for you to do is to take baby steps. I've been taking baby steps this whole time. I'm now 30 years old, and this whole time I've been taking baby steps. You know, I feel that, like I kind of picked up on before, that, you know, in this age where everyone wants you to kind of just pick and be that and do that and be who you are, it's really abrupt, and it's not natural. That's not how things happen. Like, puberty doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
You know, like, nothing happens overnight like that. For me, I was just helping to explore.
Mm-hmm.
To explore and really find out who they are and be comfortable in who they are. It's a daily process. It's an ongoing process. It's never, at least for me, it's never ending. I'm always learning something new about myself in regards to who I am. So I was just telling them to just keep at it and just keep trying and take baby steps.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It doesn't have to be something. Doesn't have to be something you just jump in and like, hey guys, I'm gay.
Right.
Like, it doesn't have to be like that.
No, I love
it
the baby.
Have to be like that.
The baby step piece is huge. When I'm working with clients, that's one of the pieces I bring up the most. Realize how you choose to step into this is how you choose to step into it. And don't let anybody else tell you how big of steps you have to take to do it. It's yours to choose. And I love the curiosity piece that you brought up, you know, just to keep exploring, because this journey, as in any journey in life, it doesn't stop until it stops. And the more curious you can be, the more exploratory you can be about who you are, and the more you will begin to understand yourself. And I think so many people, regardless of race and gender and age and all this stuff, regardless of all that, I don't think enough of us go and explore who we really are, because too many people are saying, well, this is who you are. This is how you, and for me, I encourage people to truly go find themselves, because that's the best way to be who you are, is to find yourself and to move through that. So real quick before we wrap it up here, Sean, so what's next for you? Any more films in the making? Where are you going?
Well, we're working on that. I'm working on a play right now titled The Girlfriend Zone. I'm not gay in it. And I'm also working on a web series called The Secret Storm. It's produced by BRTBTV.com. Mm-hmm. That's BallroomThrowbackTV.com. So they produce and direct it. I play a gay character in the web series, and it's been really, really, really awesome.
That's great, man.
What I'm doing.
That's awesome.
I'm happy with where things are going, because I kind of made this stance to sit firmly and really explore my acting, because it's something that I've wanted to do for quite some time, and I've gotten away from it, but now I'm, just really going ahead and really trying to do it. And I would say that the show that I'm doing now has really helped with me feeling like I have a place here and I can do it.
That's great, man. So, wow. That's awesome to hear, man. I'm wishing you all the best of luck. And I just want to say thank you once again, man, for taking time to share yourself, your journey, your perspectives on being who you are in the world. I know some of the words, if not all the words that you've shared today, will truly have impact on our audience here on Life Uncloseted. So thanks again, Sean, for coming and being part of our journey here.
Thank you, Rick, for having me. I really appreciate it. I just want to say this real quick. I was really happy to hear that you even wanted to hear something that I had to say. I was kind of astounded. So I appreciate you having this outlet.
Absolutely, man.
For the community, so yeah. people can have a space, So thank you.
Well, thank you, man. You definitely, I can tell you this, you probably have touched some hearts today for sure. So really appreciate it. And that's it. That's a wrap. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end. But don't worry, we'll be back in just a couple of days with another episode with new guests, new tips, new tricks, new wisdom about how you can go live your life uncloseted. And you know what? A lot of people out there may not even know we exist. So if you feel so compelled, share us. Tell people about it. Give us a rating and review on iTunes. Share it from your phone. Wherever you can, spread the word. Because the more people that we reach, the better the planet will be when everybody is living their life uncloseted. I'm Rick Clemens, the host of the show, that big, bold move expert, and that guy that constantly wants to help people step out, step up, and step into living their life uncloseted. Have a great couple of days, everyone, and we will be right back with you very, very soon. Take care.